Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, let's do a random start for you here on this Tuesday morning. We've got John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house with us here every Tuesday in the 8 o'clock hour. He's going to stick around for the 9 o'clock hour today as well. But John, you know, we need to do a random start here. We got to start with some good news. Everybody wants some good news. They want a heartwarming, touching story, and apparently this is breaking news that is just coming down the wires now, huh?
Yeah, feel good story of the day, Aaron. Reports indicate that dozens of Hezbollah operatives in southern Lebanon and Beirut were either killed or critically injured when their pagers and cell phones blew up on them. And now there's other reports that you got up to 800 to 1,200 casualties behind this. Obviously, a mass sabotage operation by Israeli intelligence operations to sabotage the communication devices of these terrorists and have them blow up right in their faces. It's really just something right out of a Bond movie, and is incredible.
It's the gift that keeps giving all year long, Clark. You just can't use that line from Christmas Vacation enough. But yeah, so all these terrorist operatives in Lebanon, yeah, they were talking on their radios. They had pagers. I didn't even know the old beepers from the 90s were still around, and their cell phones. And somehow all of them, I guess they didn't have the best supply chain, apparently, in Lebanon. Somehow, call your provider, check on your service, because apparently your service had a blow up of a deal.
First of all, they can't be secure when they're going to get them, see their little side piece, right? They know they're going to get blown up when they do that. Now, every time they pick up a phone or a radio or a beeper, I don't know that, Ahmed. Why don't you pick it up and try it first?
Yeah. Oh, man. Where did you see that? Was it on X, or where did you see it? What was the source for that report?
It is on Open Source Intel, which is a big reporter of everything going on over there in the Middle East.
Oh, interesting. All right. Well, you got to start with the good news. Our friends Mark and Paul, the Breakfast Flakes, that play that old old song, Little Good News Today. Well, there's your Little Good News Today right there.
When you are facing terrorists, you have to fight them on their ground. What is terror, right? It's making you afraid all the time. I mean, hence the word. Okay, so now with all of these just excellent sabotage and targeted assassination ops that Israel has done against them, they, the terrorists themselves, are being terrorized, and it is glorious.
Yeah, very interesting update there. Man, we got a lot to talk about this morning here. I know you got a couple of big stories you want to talk about. Tim Walz, did you see his wife on the stage? I thought Tim Walz was crazy. She had the crazy eyes going. I mean, she had the crazy eyes going with turn the page. You would have thought she was wearing a pink shirt standing outside of a golf course in Florida for 12 hours with the crazy eyes look she had going.
That's straight up Karen right there.
This rally.
Straight up.
Hey, easy with the Karen stuff. My mom's name is Karen. All right, back after this.
Securing America.
The House Armed Services Committee held a remote hearing Monday in California's Silicon Valley to address a specific problem. Republican Alabama Congressman Mike Rogers.
Why does the DOD continue to struggle with rapidly developing, scaling, and delivering innovation to our warfighters?
Democratic Congressman Adam Smith of Washington agreed with Rogers and cited history as an important lesson.
Whoever gets there first on the new technology has an enormous advantage, and that's been true for as long as human civilization has existed and tried to defend itself against their adversaries.
Several industry experts also testified the Pentagon moves too slowly. Skydio President Mark Valentine, whose company is the country's largest drone manufacturer, claimed the military is very behind in developing its drone system and needs to change.
Failure to do so is going to result in not enough drones when they're needed.
Kevin Rutsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so John, you probably, I think you saw this video because people were lampooning it on X and elsewhere. And by the way, John Jackson is a retired federal law enforcement officer. He's got over 100,000 followers on X, but lives here in Montana. So always fun to have him join us on the show, mixing it up on the big national news stories. And then coming up at the 9 o'clock hour, I've got a series of some Montana specific stories I want to focus in on as well. But John, did you watch the turn the page? We're gonna turn the page. This was Tim Walz's wife, and it's like, wow, we thought Tim Walz was nuts. But as she's talking about turn the page and voting for Kamala Harris, I don't want to see what's in the next chapter of this book. Based on what we've been seeing in the first three chapters, I don't want to see what's in the next chapter. So turn the page, not in the book you're reading, lady.
What page is that you're turning, actually? Hasn't Kamala Harris been the vice president for almost 4 years now? Turn the page? We're on that page right now. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's a horror novel. I mean, nice. It's like
Shining.
Yeah. It's The Shining. That's right. Speaking of The Shining.
Turn the page. Baptist with me. What are we going to do? We're going to turn the page. Oh, pretty good. Do it again. We're going to turn the page. And we're going to turn the page. 52 days and we are turning the page. 52 days and it is bye-bye, Donald Trump.
Raymond, Kathy Bates should play her in the movie.
Okay. Well, a different Stephen King novel reference there, but point taken nonetheless.
This is the same woman that, remember, as Minnesota burned in 2020, she was opening up the window of her home so she could smell the smell of the burning tires because it gave her some kind of good feeling to smell it. This woman's crazy.
See, and that's why, like, you and I, you know, well, like, so, like, you know, at least people who know my wife, like, they know, like, okay, Aaron, he'll say some crazy stuff every now and then, but his wife will keep him on track. You know, she's a smart gal. She's focused. She'll keep him on track. They're like, with this guy, this Walz guy is crazy, but then his wife is taking him even further off the rails. Like you say, you know, breathing in the smell of the aroma of the burning tires while her husband let Minneapolis burn.
Everybody's saying out there, they're comparing both of them to Howard Dean. You remember Howard Dean back in the day?
Yeah!
Like the goofy, crazy nerd. It's like, but both of them are goofy, crazy nerds while being far left communists to boot. It's like just a toxic combination.
Yeah. And then you throw Kamala into the mix and even crazier. Let's see. Let's sneak in a quick phone call here as we got John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, in the house with us. Nancy in Roundup first up. What's going on, Nancy?
Morning, Glory. Good morning. I have something to say here about this Ryan Wesley Ralph. You know, our Rob O'Neill, our Navy SEAL, I followed him on Twitter X, and he said yesterday that the deep state dead-ass tried to kill Trump again, and the Democrats be like Mondays, right? How do you not see this? And I found some interesting information on both Ryan Wesley Ralph and Thomas Matthew Crooks. They both attempted to assassinate Donald Trump. They both were in a BlackRock commercial, and I don't believe that that is a coincidence. I'm going to have to go with Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill on this, and I think definitely that the government is behind this. With the help of deep state, there is no difference anymore between deep state and our government. But that's where I'm heading on this. What do you think?
Well, they've crossed every other red line. Why wouldn't they cross this red line, right? John, yeah, that I saw that video she's talking about, too, that BlackRock, which is this left-wing financier, you know, hedge fund outfit. Yeah, isn't it crazy that both of these Trump attempted assassins were featured in a BlackRock commercial. So that video has been verified then. I saw it but didn't get a chance to verify the new guy, the pink shirt guy from Florida one yet. What about what Nancy had to say? Dan Bongino, you and I were talking about this off air. Even Dan Bongino, a retired Secret Service agent, he's very measured in what he says because he was an instructor at the schoolhouse. That's how good of a Secret Service agent he was. And so, but even he is saying, At what point do you not suspect that there's an inside job here?
Oh, 100%. And we cut that up on our spaces yesterday. There's only two options. And that's what we were talking about yesterday. There was only two options. With this being an unannounced visit, it's not open source anywhere that Trump was going to that golf course. So you would either have had to surveil him, very, very difficult, very hard, or there's a snitch. And now what comes out last night and this morning is that this guy was laid up there for 12 hours. So he did not surveil Trump today. He knew to be there. Now, I mean, come on. 95% chance here there is a snitch in a mix somewhere.
Well, I just don't get why, you know, somebody on that Secret Service detail wouldn't have thought, all right, hey, President Trump's going to go play a round of golf. Because even if he wanted to play devil's advocate and say, okay, it's Trump's course, it's a Sunday, there's no other public event scheduled, maybe he'll be there. But even then, why wouldn't somebody on the Secret Service detail say, you know what, I'm going to just go take a drive around the golf course real fast before the Trump, hits the first tee shot here. Yeah, let's just go do a drive around the perimeter. Nobody thought to do that? This is the second time this has now happened.
This could be somebody at the golf course, okay? But there is a snitch somewhere. I'm telling you, right at 95%, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
Well, and again, they have crossed every other red line in American history to go after this man. So no wonder people are raising the question of if they would cross a red line in this regard, too. All right, phone lines are open for you as we chat with John Jackson here, 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app if you got a quick message that you'd like to get heard across Montana or something just to share with us.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lock. A federal judge recently sentenced a Queens, New York man to 13 months in prison for making more than 12,000 threatening calls to Congress and vowing to kill a congressional aide. The feds say Adai Salim Lilly threatened to kill at least one aide, quote, with a bomb or a grenade. The calls came between 2022 and 2023. Over 2 days in February 2023, Lilly called the Washington, D.C. office of one lawmaker more than 500 times. Federal prosecutors say that during the calls, Lilly would berate congressional staffers and become angry and use vulgar and harassing language. The U.S. Capitol Police investigated a staggering 8,000 threats lodged against members of Congress last year, but many threats are never prosecuted. U.S. Capitol Police Chief Tom Manger said that threats targeting members of Congress has soared by more than 400%. Over the past 6 years. In July, a Florida man was charged with written threats to kill former President Trump and Republican vice presidential nominee and Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have John Jackson here in the house. John, you mentioned this, and I even left myself a note here. The Secret Service, and since we're on that topic, let's start there next. Dan Bongino made another great point early on, and Dan Bongino comes on the show right after us on several of the radio stations that are carrying us right now. But Dan Bongino made a great point. After the first assassination attempt against President Trump, they promoted the number two guy into the number one slot. So the former DEI hire potato chip saleswoman lady, she finally steps down. And then they take the guy in the number two slot and put him in the number one slot. And Dan Bongino was like, that's the guy who was responsible for resource allocation. And this was a resource allocation failure. So no wonder we now have a second assassination attempt on President Trump. Because in the Biden-Harris tester regime, if you fail, you fail up, not out.
Well, I think you saw him with a little briefing yesterday about the second assassination attempt, in which he made a statement that I think is the biggest story of the day, or maybe the second biggest. And I'll give you the quote. He says, because they're talking about allocating resources, and he says, there could be another geopolitical event that could put the United States into a kinetic conflict or some other issue that may result in additional responsibilities and protectees of the Secret Service. Now, what do you suppose that means, Aaron? I'm telling you right now what that means. That is right out of what Jamie Raskin said a month ago. They are prepared to, if Donald Trump would win this election, they are going to refuse to certify it in January and are prepared for civil war in which the Secret Service would be designated to protect all the members of Congress. That's what he's telling you right there.
So, yeah, you and I were talking about this off air. My knee-jerk reaction is to disagree with you on this one. First, let me play the soundbite so I can hear it, because in inflection, putting the emphasis on the proper syllable is part of the key thing here as well. So let me hear, and to quote White Man Jump, White Man Can't Jump, you know, what is it? You can't just listen to Jimmy. You got to hear Jimmy. Or was it the other way around? You can't just hear Jimmy.
You can listen to Jimmy. You just can't hear.
Okay,
Jimmy.
There we go. All right. Either way, here we go. Let's play it. This is straight off of disclose.tv via X.
The long and short of it is this. Coming out of Butler, I have ordered a paradigm shift. The Secret Service's protective methodologies work, and they are sound, and we saw that yesterday. But the way we are positioned right now in this dynamic threat environment, it has given me guidance to say, you know what? We need to look at what our protective methodology is. We need to get out of a reactive model and get to a readiness model. There could be another geopolitical event that could put the United States into a kinetic conflict or some other issue that may result in additional responsibilities and protectees of the United States Secret Service.
All right, so there we go. Let me retweet or repost that one, too, so that any of my followers can see it for themselves. So, John, my read on this is that I think what he is referencing is the fact the blinking lights that even the FBI director testified. Look, I think what he is acknowledging here is the fact that Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and John Tester have us on the brink of World War III. And what he is saying is like, look, given the geopolitical tensions going on right now, everything in the Middle East, Ukraine, Russia, potential there, that there might be a geopolitical situation that would force us to have to shift resources dramatically in one way or the other. Either way, whether it's your thesis or mine, it's not a good look for the current regime in Washington, is it?
I read through this, what he said. If you read the words, he says, first of all, there could be another geopolitical event, not a, another. And what he's referring to is January 6th being the first one, okay? Now, and see, think about war in all the wars you know of in the history you know of war. When we've had wars, okay, even at post 9/11, Iraq, Vietnam, did you see the Secret Service have to come out and have additional responsibilities of anybody? No. No. The only reason they're going to have to protect people is exactly what Jamie Raskin said a month ago. He said, we're all going to have to get protected behind this. He came right, that's right out of his mouth.
Yeah. Although, I mean, the definition of geopolitical refers, you know, more so to international relations. But either way, I think the very fact that he is saying what he just said there, you're right to flag this and say, wow, that is very interesting what he just said right there. Let's see. Let's go to Gary in Billings. Gary, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron and John. I was listening to Sean Hannity yesterday. And he was talking about one of the guys that was on the golf course with Don Trump. And he really praised the people that acted. But when I hear that FBI agent talking about the Secret Service has these young women and stuff, and they're not conditioned for that. So what I'd like to have you guys talk about is, since you've been out there in the trenches, both you and John, you are the people that could start this whole thing of getting veterans lining up to be a task force to protect Donald Trump. You know, it's kind of
That's what Corey Mills was referencing. I think it was it Corey Mills, the Florida congressman, who was saying, like, hey, obviously the Secret Service is not up to the task here. But why don't we get military, some military personnel, or, and I think DOD has offered up a little bit of that a couple weeks ago or so. Anyway, John, your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. And you saw, and I think you were playing it some this morning, They just do not care anymore, the Democrats out there and the media. They are outright pushing for him to be murdered. When you've got Dan Goldman, people like Dan Goldman, people like Hillary Clinton out the next day after the second assassination attempt, calling for more, telling the media they need to have an entire narrative about what a danger Trump is to the country and to the world. These people are shameless in their calls for violence against Donald Trump.
And it is specifically their calls for violence. They specifically criticize Trump, the person. They say that he, the person, he, the man, is the threat. Not his policies, he the man. Whereas when we criticize the Biden, Tester, Harris regime, we're highlighting their policies that are a threat to America, their policies that have us on the brink of World War III. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Francis in Big Fork. Francis, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. I agree that I think he was set up. You know, I think it was an accident that he got shot. I mean, the other guy got shot at. That they had one good guy patrolling, and they were probably just crying when it happened. But I think God is protecting Trump, because how else, when everybody else is against him, the whole Democrat Party just has pure hate for Trump, that us Christians have to stand up and don't listen to their garbage.
All right, Francis.
Straight out garbage.
All right, Francis. Great to hear from you. Thanks so much for the phone call. Actually, let's go sneak in another phone call here since we're getting close to our next break. We've got, let's see, JJ in the Flathead. JJ, what's your thoughts?
Morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Thank you guys for your service. I just read an article in the Gateway Pundit. They interviewed Eric Prince. He's the founder of Blackwater. Both of these assassins were featured in BlackRock commercials. He says the chances of that happening randomly are zero. So if you get a chance, read that article. In Gateway Pundit this morning.
And they're quoting Eric Prince. Yeah, he's, when it comes to security and executive protection, a very prominent voice, of course. All right, thanks for the call. JJ, John Jackson, your thoughts.
Imagine just for one second if this was reversed. If there was a Republican in the White House right now and a Democrat nominee for president has had two assassination attempts against him, that the Democrats and the media would storm the White House and demand the exact same protection that a sitting president gets for that nominee just because of the threat. And you know what? They would get it. They would have got it the first time. But now, still to this day, we do not have adequate protection for a man who has been – they tried to murder him twice.
All right. Let's see. John, I don't know if you heard it, but yesterday I actually shared a soundbite that you had flagged on X. Lester Holt, NBC News. I want to get your reaction to that. I shared your tweet, obviously, and I shared the Lester Holt shameful audio, but I want to get more of your reaction to that. First, so let's go back into the phone lines. And by the way, phone lines are now open for you. We got through a few callers there, so we freed up some phone lines, 406-294-0970. The mighty Human Z now on the phone lines. Z, what's going on?
Hey, Great Lakes, greetings from Gilligan's Island. I got a couple questions for you regarding the Secret Service here. They didn't speak the perimeter. They didn't apprehend the guy. A tip called into the sheriff. The sheriff apprehended this guy. Gilligan, with all of his accidents, had far better luck on the island rescuing people. And these guys are claiming that the plan worked? Yikes, yikes, yikes. Question, Team Ginger or Team Marianne? Oh boy, you hesitated. All right. Okay.
Well, if you're not on Team Ginger, you're obviously a racist against redheads. That's obviously the answer there, right?
So you got to be of a certain age to get that reference.
See, right, that's there. Why I might have been a little lost on that one. I remember Gilligan's Island, but I was just a little kid, so
well, everybody always asks you, which woman do you prefer, that type of woman?
Well,
Ginger or Marianne?
Well, that's why I said if you don't say Ginger, you're a racist. You don't like redheads, right?
Well, see,
oh, is she not a redhead?
It's the bombshell or the kind of wallflower.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. See, that's why we have John around here. He's my elderly elderly insight. The elderly, I wouldn't call him a statesman, but elderly nonetheless. Back after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The study of demographics, specifically the age structure of the Montana population, is both complicated and simple. It evolves in slow motion, yet its impacts always seem to surprise us. And the challenges it presents Montana businesses, governments, and communities are formidable. With each passing decade, it becomes apparent that the increase in birth rates after World War II that produced the baby boom generation was an aberration. The number of children born to women of childbearing age was falling before and has fallen since that 20-year period. The so-called demographic dividend we enjoyed until recently, when boomers helped increase the size of the workforce relative to total population, is over. That's been replaced with what you might call a demographic hangover, as an outsized generation of now retirees depend on a smaller current workforce. And the drop in childbearing continues to challenge everything from churches to universities. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Almost.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I got a stack of stuff for the 9 o'clock hour specifically that I'm setting aside. John and I were talking during the break. Man, we got to talk more about these ballot initiatives, not just CI 128, this radical abortion initiative, but also this ranked choice voting scam and so much more. I'm going to save that one for the 9 o'clock hour if I can, because I've got some numbers in terms of the out-of-state fundraising that is pouring in to support these left-wing causes. So we'll get to that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. John, what's a story you want to get to before I get to... I want to talk about the Pope. No entrada. No entrada at the Vatican. But muchas entrada everywhere else, I guess.
Dude, you're killing me. You're killing me with that Spanish.
It's right Italian.
There.
That was my Italian-Spanish combo there.
Two big stories that I wanted to press home here, and it's Montana related, is that we've all heard the story about the Haitians and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris destroying that town in Springfield, Ohio. Well, it comes up over the weekend that now we have reports from Whitewater, Wisconsin, a town of, let's see, 15,000 residents. They have 1,000 illegals in there from Venezuela and Nicaragua, running their resources dry, increasing crime the whole bit. You also then have Charleroi, Pennsylvania. 2,000 Haitians invading that town of 4,000 people. Same result. This is happening all over the United States. It's an untold story because, of course, no big media people are ever going to report it. And here's the Montana related. If you don't think this can happen here in Montana, they're telling you stories about towns smaller than your town here in Montana that these people are invading. Okay? It can happen any day right here in Montana.
And they're using, and sometimes they're not even just doing this with illegal aliens. What the Biden administration is doing is they're giving some sort of a legal status to people from other countries, thousands and thousands at a time, tens of thousands at a time, and saying, here's your free button. This is your temporary legal status. This is your legal status. And then they're invading the country that way. So this is another huge scandal with what is happening with the Biden-Harris tester regime right now, where they're not only flooding the southern border with illegal aliens, but then they're flooding the rest of the country with aliens. But you can't technically call them illegal aliens because these crooks in Washington, D.C. are figuring out a way to give this phony legal status to these folks and then flood these communities with them, overwhelming hospitals, overwhelming the criminal justice system and more. But then the media clutches their pearls because they don't like the way Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and the rest of us talk about this happening. That actually ties in with the audio that I wanted to share from Pope Francis, Laura Ingram on the Ingram Angle last night. We played a soundbite from her earlier. She had the Tim Walz
turn the page audio. And but she also had a great segment talking about Pope Francis. He's this far left pope, and he was somehow equating abortion and illegal immigration. And so, anyway, listen to, let's see, here's what Pope Francis had to say, and then I think a little bit of the response from Laura Ingraham and possibly Arroyo at the same time.
Both are against life, whether it is the one who is chasing away migrants or the one that kills children. Both are against life. Not welcoming migrants is a sin. It is grave. Performing an abortion is killing a human being. It is an assassination. You must vote and you must choose the lesser evil. Which is the lesser evil? That lady or that gentleman? I don't know.
Well, Laura, the Pope should know. Killing a child is a graver moral sin than turning a migrant away at the border for not following protocol. One ends a life, the other protects the integrity of the nation and its people, which the Church teaches is the nation's guide. The moral equivalency here is very concerning, and I wish the Pope would be more clear and simply not wade into these waters.
Now, Laura Ingraham had a great response because she visited the Vatican. She visited the Vatican, and no entrada was the word she kept hearing. She kept hearing the terms no entrada, meaning if you want to go visit the Vatican and the headquarters where the Pope resides. Now, I'm not Catholic, so I'll leave it to the Catholics to decide what they think about this particular Pope and whether he represents their faith or not. But what I would say is this, is that turning people away is somehow the similar to killing a baby. They turn people away from the Vatican. You have to follow protocol. You have to follow the rules. You have to have tickets to get there. You have to have tickets to get to certain places there. She kept hearing, no entrada. Why are you hearing? I mean, imagine if we sent plane loads of illegal aliens to the Vatican. They'd probably be met with the response, no entrada.
Well, just like I don't want to hear from LeBron James, you know, the learned political scientist, basketball dribbler. I don't want to hear from him on politics. I don't want to hear from this guy on politics either. Do your job. And you can talk to me about illegals when I see a tent city inside the Vatican. Then you can talk. Until then, be quiet.
Yeah, good point. All right, let's go to Fawn. Calling in from forgotten North Montana, as she describes it. I know where she's calling in from. Fawn, you are not forgotten. Glad you called in. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a request. You said you would be coming up here, and you haven't come yet.
I know. I got to get to Eureka. I've been to Kalispell, Whitefish two, three times already this summer, but I got to get to Eureka.
And I get so upset. We're not that much further north. My request is, when you come, bring John Jackson with you.
Well, as long as I don't have to share a car with the guy, I get stuck with him every Tuesday. That's bad enough.
We want him too.
I know you do. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what we should do? We should make it happen. So I get to MC the Flathead Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner coming up in October. October 11th, I think, is when that is. Maybe that weekend, let's figure out a restaurant or someplace to do an event from in Eureka. Can you help make that happen, Fawn?
I already did. Way back.
All right.
When.
I got the email still, so
and
I know the place.
I know they talk to you.
Well, let's make it happen. Let's make it happen.
We got to get the word out. Vote no on all three initiatives. It's going to kill our state if any one of those passes.
You know what? That's the best way to put it, frankly, right there. Fawn, thanks for the call. And yeah, let's work on that weekend of October 11th, making it happen. I know our friend Josh Carl with AFP Montana got to have a nice lunch with you at the restaurant there, and I just missed you that weekend. So we'll look forward to seeing you guys soon. We're going to make it happen. John Jackson, you know, we're going to talk more about the ballot initiatives and the money backing them in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But I think Fawn just put it better than any of us could put it, which is just vote against every single one of these constitutional initiatives that are on the ballot this fall.
Oh, absolutely. I think we talked last week with David Noble. I mean, have you ever seen in all your years here when any initiative they put up on there? I've never voted for a single one. Every one of them is some kind of tax or a way to take away some of your liberties or your freedoms. Just anytime, it's a safe bet. Anytime you see one of those initiatives, vote no. I mean, every single time. And to Fawn's point, just so everybody knows, the listeners out there, the reason I don't go out on the road with Aaron is every time we go out somewhere, like we got to Vegas, he rents one hotel room and then he wants me to spoon with him. Right? And so, you know, I handle it with Vegas, but I'm just not up for it, you know, on a regular basis.
So for the SHOT show, he's okay with it. But yeah,
well, too much spooning is just not good.
I don't know. Yeah. If you were confident in your manhood, you know, you would.
Some people don't know when you're joking. So it's like, okay, people, John's joking right now. Man, the last time we got hooked up, We couldn't talk about it at the time, but man, we got hooked up the last time.
Ooh, yeah.
Man, normally we're like 6 blocks away from the SHOT Show, and I'm dragging my radio equipment at like 3 a.m. It's like, good night. And it's like, okay, there, you know. But man, the last time we were at the Venetian, and like, holy cow, I didn't get the top floor like you got. For some reason, you get better treatment when you show up in Vegas.
Oh, dude, we got the bougie suite last time, buddy. We were living large.
My goodness. Two different suites. I got to clarify there. So, I'll sleep on the floor. I don't care. I mean, if it saves money, you know what I'm saying? But hey, if they're giving you the suite, I'm going to take the suite. Speaking of Vegas, did you watch the UFC 306 Saturday night from the Sphere? That production was insane.
I saw the clips of Sugar Sean.
Yeah.
I thought that was very, very, very poor sportsmanship on part of the guy that he was fighting. But, yeah.
Which part?
You see him kissing him on the back.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah,
and then he was yelling at his coach, Tim Welch, who's a Montana native, too.
Very disrespectful.
That was both of the – even Dana White said that both of those things were weird. I felt bad for Sugar Sean. It just seemed like it wasn't his night. It wasn't his day at all. But I think he's going to be back on top again soon.
He'll be back.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, the media, they're actually blaming Donald Trump. Oh, it's his report. Is he going to calm down his rhetoric now? I'm like, what? What? This is so sick. They're so ugly. This accused gunman hid in this sniper's nest for 12 hours. Before he was spotted in what seemed like the moment before he was about to pull the trigger. These two recent attempts on Trump's life follow a long list of prominent Democrats. Well, they've called for Trump's assassination. You know, I think an awful lot about blowing up the White House. You know, or how many Democrats have called President Trump the second coming of Adolf Hitler.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, remember the old way of shopping for custom window treatments, waiting around all day just to get an overpriced quote from a commission-pushy salesperson? Well, those days are over because Blinds.com invented the better way to shop for custom window treatments. Now, with completely virtual consultations, you're never going to have to deal with a salesperson in your home ever again. And whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or you prefer to use professional installation services, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver top-quality window treatments. And that means premium woven wood to motorized shades. They're my favorite and much more. You get unlimited custom window treatments installed, all for one low cost. And at Blinds.com, there are never any hidden fees, no showroom markups. The price you see on the website is the price you pay. And with Blinds.com, they have the 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you're not happy with the style, the color, the fit, they're going to work it out for you. Shop at Blinds.com right now. Get up to 45% off. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
3-406-201-6263.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. John, this was another topic that I want to bring up in the 9 o'clock hour of this show, kind of, you know, get some of these, some more of these Montana specific stories in that 9 o'clock hour, especially because coming up at nine is when we've got, you know, small towns like Plentywood, Glendive, Lewistown, others that'll be jumping in on the conversation as well. But Kyle in Kalispell messaged us. Hey, Aaron and John, love this program. Wanted to give you a heads up that the Kalispell City Council voted to revoke the conditional use permit for the Flathead Warming Center late last night. He says that should be that news should be breaking today, but I haven't seen it yet. I actually have in my stack of stuff here, and I think it's an NBC Montana report about that very story. So we will talk about that. Maybe we'll start the 9 o'clock hour with that show or with that story for you. Let's see. Where did we go before the last break? Oh, we were talking. You know what? Let's just take another caller here before we run out of time. Johnny in Whitefish, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I'm pretty staunch independent and Republican as far as I love conservative thinking, but that property tax is a very real issue, and I don't know why a solution as simple as have a per diem different for second and third homeowners, lower the per diem for local Montana residents. That guy who was on earlier, if that's a Democrat running, he's got a really good point, and Dean Forte better watch out because property taxes are that real. And Democrats, I don't trust them. They're corrupt, and they lie. But that is a real issue that Republicans must solve. Why not have different per diems for third out-of-state homeowners and then a different one for locals to offset the budget?
Good question. But I think the broader question when it comes to property taxes, and Johnny, thanks for the call. First off, I would say that property taxes have been a problem for decades, not just in the last 2-3 years. Property, you know, in the post-COVID, you know, boom that we've seen here, property tax, people have been getting property taxed out of their homes for decades here in Montana. 16 years of Democrat governors never addressed it. I think we, the people, need to address it by capping property taxes based off of the purchase price of the home, not the value of the home. That's my take. John Jackson, what's yours?
Well, this rolls, in my opinion, rolls right into those, you know, initiative things that we talked about a minute ago. Every, you know, how your property tax goes up and all your taxes go up is every time they have one of those mill levy thingies that they try to say, oh, the hospitals and the schools and the police and won't somebody think of the children? That's what they're doing to you. They're raising your taxes every time. And when you vote yes for that crap, you're voting to get your taxes raised.
Speaking of taxes, Missoula taxes, it's even worse than I said yesterday. I got a note from Sandra Vasica, Missoula City Council member, that I'll share with you coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Getting very short on time. Let's go to Les in Livingston next. Les, what's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron. Good morning. A couple quick things. How come we've never heard anything about the northern border and how many crossings we have up there? And then the second thing this morning on the news, Fox said that, you know, Biden and Harris have flown in 1.3 million people into the country that nobody, I guess, knows about or heard about because it made the national news. And I imagine those were Haitians and who knows what else.
Who knows what? Yeah, that's part of the secret flights, yeah, that John Tester has voted for. Yeah.
But boy, they were all over it this morning on Fox anyway. But
and on then, Fox,
we've
yeah.
Never heard, yeah, and we know how many people have come across the northern border. We know there's 20 million at the southern, but...
Well, the last time we talked about the northern border here on Montana Talks, we told you the latest statistics, which showed that more people on the terror watch list were crossing the northern border than they were the southern border. I know that was the last time we brought up the northern border. That's what we covered.